from Trinidad. He's been gone for a while. Welcome back, Brother Joseph. Also, at this time, I want you to know as well that Sister Eunice is back in the hospital. She had another seizure yesterday morning. So please pray for Sister Eunice. And she's at the Grey Nuns. Gildia had surgery in her hand, one hand this week. And if you would remember these folks and pray for them, and please follow up with them if you don't mind. This is one way that we can show that we're truly a church family if we can connect and follow up with each other. So just those information for you. All right. Well, for those of you who are guests with us this morning, our theme for 2013 is on giving. And the scripture we use is Luke 6:38 that says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, a good measure, pressed down and shaken together, shall be poured into your lap." And the measure in which you use, that's the measure that which it will be given back to you. So if you're guests with us, we are in the theme of giving. But don't get nervous. Hide your wallets. Put your checkbooks away. We're not going to be asking you for any money or anything like that. But just bear with us as we make our way through these marvelous, wonderful passages of scriptures. Over the months, we have looked at the story of Cain and Abel, and we talked about the condition of Cain's heart when he was rejected, and we talked about Jacob and Esau. We talked about Anna and Samuel in the temple and how she prayed and gave back to God, and we talked about the widow who brought her one penny and put it in the offering plate, and Jesus said that she'd given more than those who had an abundance. We talked about the rich young man who said to Jesus, "No, I'm rather just not follow you. I'll go do my other things." We talked about in Malachi 3:10, "Will a man rob me?" and how the Levitical priests brought animals that were blemished and to give it to God when they knew that they should not give to God those sacrifices that were not holy and pleasing to him. We talked about in Corinthians that God loves a cheerful giver, that he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. And so today, we're going to continue on. We were in Acts chapter 4 last week, and we talked to you about the church in Acts was a church that had power, that had purpose, it had passion, and how everyone sold, those who had property, that they sold their property and brought it to the apostles, so that in the local church, there was no need amongst the people. And I said to myself, my God, I would love to attend a church like that, where there was no need amongst the people, where everyone just shared and gave according to what God had blessed them with. Wouldn't you want to be a part of a church like that? Is there anybody in the house this morning? You know what, friends? I believe that we can have an environment like that today if our hearts are right, though. And so this morning, I'm not intending to judge or belittle anyone, but I just want to encourage you this morning. And we are continuing on the topic of giving. And if you have your Bibles, would you go with me to the book of Acts chapter 5? We're going to read the first 11 verses together. Amen? All right. And once it's on the screen, we will read it. Is there someone who wouldn't mind reading into the microphone for us, for the purpose of those that's going to be listening by way of the internet? I need a nice, strong, clear voice and an NIV translation. Brother Joseph, you look like you're ready, so why don't we do it? Just for those listening by way of the website. So then we get it? All right, let's go in three. One, two, three in concert.
"Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God." When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young man came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you, Ananias, got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. And that moment she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events.
All right. Thank you, Brother Joseph. This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative Word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles. And I will stand on its promises. I declare it in Jesus' name. All right. I want to talk to you this morning from, I want to preach from the subject, be mindful of giving for the wrong reasons. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, be mindful of giving for the wrong reasons. Look at your other neighbor. Say, be mindful of giving for the wrong reasons. All right? Now, I've been trying to teach you from the beginning of the year about giving, and many of our passages had to do with finances. Some of them didn't have to do with finances. But if you would just bear with me today, regardless of whether it's financial or not, when we give, what we give comes out of our hearts. Can you agree to that this morning? Is there anybody in the house? When you give, what you give comes out of your heart. So whether it's grudgingly or whether it's abundantly, it reflects, your giving reflects the condition of your heart. So I want to say to you that when you are in a situation, whether it's marital or church or children or whatever it is, where there is a deficiency in giving, it's not a giving problem. It's not a financial problem. It is a heart problem. Can you agree to that? All right? So when you see someone who doesn't want to give, doesn't want to get involved, that's not a necessary attitude. It's a heart issue, because when the hearts change, the attitude and the behaviors will change. Amen? And so this morning, I want to challenge you. We've encouraged you to give, but I want you to be mindful of giving for the wrong reasons. Now, let me clear some things up with you right away. The purpose of this story is not to strike fear into people's hearts, but to teach you that the Holy Spirit is active in the church. Are you with me? The purpose of this passage is to teach you that the Holy Spirit is active in God's church. Victory over Ananias and Sapphira is more of a victory over Satan, because they were simply a tool used by Satan. Can you get an amen for that one? It's more than just victory over Ananias and Sapphira. It's victory over Satan because they were just simply tools in his hands. God has used this as an example to his church that will benefit us with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit protects the church's integrity and guards against divisive sin in the body, like we saw with Ananias and Sapphira. I want you to know this. The Holy Spirit protects the integrity of the church. I'll talk to you a little bit more about that. So this account in our text, Brian, is designed to encourage us, like Luke's audience, and to encourage us today, that the Holy Spirit protects the integrity of the church. When we read in the text that when Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead, the Bible said that not too many people were in a hurry to join that church. Do you know why? Because the fear of God was in the church. You know why I think our churches are the way they are today? I don't think the fear of God is in the church anymore. Because people want to do the same things in the world and bring it into church and expect it to be acceptable. But when the fear of God is in the church, you will think twice before you do certain things. And the Bible says that the people were hesitant to join that church, and I would be too. And we need to create an environment where people can go back to fearing the Lord in a healthy way. Because when we listen to the things that we do and say as Christians, you have to wonder if we really fear the Lord. Be mindful of giving for the wrong reasons. God has used this passage of Scripture not to put fear in your hearts, but to teach you and to remind me that the Holy Spirit of the living God protects the integrity of the church. And I can't begin to tell you time and time again when I've seen things come in and say, Lord, how are we going to handle this? But the Holy Spirit got a hold of it and it worked itself out. So I have three quick points for you today I want to preach to you. And the first one I want you to notice is to notice the deliberate plot of deception by Ananias and his wife. A deliberate plot of deception. As I began to read the text, I began to wonder to myself, why would they put themselves in this kind of a situation? What was the benefit for Ananias and his wife to put themselves in this kind of situation? And as I read the text, I discovered, Elva, that it was a desire and a plot for praise. Because if you read the following verses, it says that Barnabas, known to us as son of encouragement, sold a piece of his property and brought the money, placed it at the apostles' feet, and it was a public demonstration, Brian. There was no tithing envelopes. You know, there was no sticking it under the office door. It was done in church. And everybody saw what he gave. And no doubt, when the people saw what Barnabas had given, he was praised and recognized for it, but he didn't do it so that he could get praise. He did it because that was what the Holy Spirit had placed in his heart to do, and he gave it not for any benefit. And so when the congregation saw that there was $100,000 placed at the apostles' feet, I mean, the needs, I would rejoice, because if you got a need and someone gives you a large sum of money, you know that that's the working of the Holy Spirit. God is listening to the prayers. He sees the needs. And I want to tell you today that God still sees the needs of his children today, whatever the needs are. But I got some things I want to challenge you with as well. And so I believe that when Ananias and Sapphira saw the applause and the accolades and the praise that Barnabas got, they thought to themselves, well, we might as well go ahead and do the same thing too. And they wanted praise without responsibility. They wanted accolades without genuineness. What is it that is missing in their lives that they would go to such an extent for praise, recognition, and positive affirmation? Because you cannot use God's church for your personal agenda and expect not to be found out. And there are lots of people using the church for their own personal agenda. This is why I say to you in the church, there's no business like show business. I want to challenge you on something. Ananias and Sapphira, are they Christian people? Bring it on. Are they Christian people? Okay, they are in church. Let me ask you, Dagmar, in the condition of the Jerusalem church, was the Holy Spirit moving powerfully? Yeah. So what happens to a person who can be in the presence of the Holy Spirit that's moving, but still not be connected to the Holy Spirit? And I wonder today how many people, I hear this all the time, Pastor, you know, the church is so boring. Well, no kidding. The Holy Spirit could be here and moving, but if you haven't read your Bible all week, you haven't talked to God all week, you haven't given thanks for nothing, when you come in, of course it's going to be boring. You're disconnected. You're not in the environment. So here we find a Christian couple in the presence of the Spirit, but not in the Spirit. Oh, they've got a religion, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. We find that they are in church, but church is not in them. Pause there for a little bit. There's a lot of folks who come to church on a Sunday morning, but church is not in them. Because they come in with their own agenda, trying to find something for themselves. Forget glory, praise, or personal accolades. All right? But the good news for those of us is that we don't know people's hearts. But the Holy Spirit protects the integrity of the church. And if there's somebody in the church who've got motives that are not godly, believe me to God, he reveals what's in the darkness and he brings it into light. And we notice they've got religion, but they don't have a relationship with the Lord as Lord of their lives. What are they lacking? To lie in church for the purpose of recognition and praise and accolades tells me that there is something internally wrong. There is some internal character defect that this couple had that they taught money could fix. They had an internal need that they thought money could fix. And they didn't realize that you can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have internal peace, money can't buy that. If you got a broken heart, money can't fix that. So there's some things money just can't buy. And if you find yourself this morning in this service feeling alone and empty and cold, even though you have things, I want to tell you what you need is Jesus. Because he can transform you from the inside out. What you need is my Savior this morning to give you a transformation of heart, mind, and soul. When they saw what Barnabas, I believe, had done, I believe envy in some part of them filled them because they wanted to have what somebody else had. But you don't have to be deceitful to get what somebody else has. If God is God, he can give you what he wants to give you. I ought not to be jealous of your giftings and your abilities because the same God that gave them to you can give me mine. So I don't need to be jealous and envy of you. What I need to do is pray for you. I need to encourage you and support you, but not to become jealous and become malicious and vindictive. And so we find Ananias and Sapphira in the church and their church folks. And we notice also that they are wealthy. They're a married couple and they're in the church. And we find that this husband and wife agreed, as the scripture said, they were in agreement to lie and to be deceitful while in the church. I began to think about this thing. And I began to let my mind just go with it just a little while. I think there are two problems wrong with this couple. Number one, the fact that they are willing to come together and to lie to the church leaders tells me where they are spiritually. Number two, it tells me that this couple has a very unhealthy marriage relationship. Number one, it shows me where they are spiritually. They're in a dark place. But how could you be around light with the power of the Holy Spirit moving and people getting saved and signs and wonders happening, and you are around light but still living in darkness? Something is missing. There is a disconnect taking place. And I believe there are many people today in the church, and there's light all around them, but they can't see it because they're in darkness. They can't worship. Because they're in darkness. They can't praise. Because they're in darkness. I wish I had somebody in the house today. And I want you to know that if you can be in the house of God amongst God's people, and you and your wife or your husband can come together and plan to be deceitful in the house of God, something ought to trigger in your mind. So, you know, there is absolutely no way that my wife would encourage me to do something that's godly. And there is no way that if I truly love my wife and love the Lord, which I do, that I would encourage her to do something that's ungodly. So it tells me that this couple have got some issues. That there's some deep marital issues taking place. And if you can be around God's people and be around the supernatural and not sense it, then I want to say that there is something that is internally wrong. And after the service, we will want to have an altar call for you, because that has to change. You cannot be around and not get in. If there's power around, I want to be a part of what God is doing. And there are many people who are in the presence of what's going on, but they're not involved in it because there's a disconnect someplace. And they can't be. And they should not be. Now, as a married couple, you know, the wife should have said to him, Ananias, now listen, I understand that what you're doing, but this ain't right. This is not right. But I also want the application to you. There are many times you will hear and see things in the church that you know it's not right. Let me tell you something. Silence is affirmation. If you say silent, you are affirming what's being said. And if you are truly a child of God, then you need to have some intestinal fortitude to stand up and say, this is not right. All right? This is not right. You know, you don't hear me. I wish I had somebody in the house. You don't hear me on that one. Because there are many people who are running around talking and saying a lot of things that are not right, but people don't have the intestinal fortitude to say, this is not right, and stand up and stop it. And when you don't stop it, it continues. But sin has consequences, and hypocrisy has consequences, and deceitfulness has consequences. So I want to say to you in application, when you hear and see that which is not right, you as a believer must stand up and say, this is wrong. What you are doing is wrong. She should have said something, or he should have come to his senses and said something, but they went along with each other's plan. And I want to also point out to you, I don't know if Ananias and Sapphira had kids, but I want to tell you that if they had kids, the same attitude that's in mom and dad is in the kids. So let me pause there for a little. Now, if you got kids and you don't like their behavior, I just want you to know that the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. I just want you to know that the apple does not fall too far from the tree. I want to encourage you today. This is not to put fear in your heart, but I want you to know that the Holy Spirit protects the integrity of the church, Pastor Allen. And as you work with those men down at the Hope Mission, you're going to see some real characters come in there, and sometimes you want to jump in and handle it yourself. But if the presence of God is in the leadership and it's in the church, the Holy Spirit will protect the integrity of the church. And that's hard for sometimes pastors to do, because we want to get in there and do it and fix it. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and I love doing the Lord's work. Hallelujah. But it's his work. Some of you will get that tomorrow. The church at Jerusalem had supernatural power of the Holy Spirit working in it. But I also want to tell you that right beside the supernatural power was a problem. We had the Spirit working, and we had Satan working. If you are new to church today, I want you to know something. And as you continue, you will find that the more God works, the closer you'll find Satan hanging around, looking for somebody. He didn't go to somebody who was on the street that wasn't saved. Hello, somebody. Satan didn't find somebody who didn't know Jesus, that wasn't coming to, didn't come to, that don't go to church. He found somebody from the inside and began to use them to accomplish his will. I don't know about you, but I'm no tool for the devil. I am no tool for the devil. And I hope that you're no tool for the devil either. And I believe this is why Jesus says, I will build my church, but the gates of hell should not prevail. Because in my mind, I see the image that where the church is, the gates of hell are right next door. And there's some people standing in the middle, straddling the fence. Can't decide whether they want the church or the gates of hell. But I want you to know that fence, that dividing line, was never intended to be a receding seat of comfort for anyone. Either you're on the Lord's side or you're on the enemy's side, but you can't straddle the fence. Pick a side and decide which side you're going to serve. And if God be God, let's serve him. And if Satan, let's serve him. And so the Bible says that Ananias allowed Satan to get into his heart. Can I talk to you about something else on this text as I see? If Ananias' weakness was chocolate cake, Satan would not have come to him about money, because he would have known he can't get in with the issue of money. What I'm saying to you is that the enemy knows your weaknesses and your weak spots, and he exploits and he explores those, especially when he sees an opportunity that would bring excitement and honor to you in the flesh. All right? Satan doesn't have to worry. When I go to Safeway, I can walk by the dessert section. I don't have no problem in the world. I can go by other places, don't have no problem in the world. But at some places, if I go, you have to say, Lord, help that preacher. I'm talking about me now. I know you all saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost and don't have no issues in the world, but there's certain places if I go, I have to say, Lord, help that preacher. I know I'm alone on this one, Ross, but help that preacher. So there's some things in your life. Let me talk to you about this. Now, most of us are 99% doing really good in our lives, but we got that one issue. And if you allow that one issue to control you, it makes you feel like it becomes the 99 and all the good things become the 1%. Ruth's going to be talking today about how to have a fulfilling and exciting sex life. You ought to do one for the men too, sister. All right, the couples one. Because, can I pause for a minute here? We're all sitting here perfumed and deodorized, looking good on the outside. But let me tell you something. One of the greatest sins that's creeping up in the church is sexual sin. Don't you think pornography does not have a hold on a lot of people? It's in the pulpit to the parking lot. All right? So let's not pretend that we got it all together. Whether your issue is pornography or anger or finances or greed or jealousy or whatever it is, on a bad day, Elva, the enemy will exploit you at your weakest points. That's just reality. And so the thing to do is that if this is you, you want to put accountability in place. I love Pastor Allen. He's one of my accountability partners. He can call me any time of the day and say, Sion, have you spent adequate time in the Word of God and prayer? Have you spent time with your family? Does challenges of life rob you of your joy? Have you exposed yourself to any sexually explicit material? Have you just lied to me? And we have some healthy conversations. Sometimes I answer yes. Sometimes I answer no. All depends on the week. Glory to God. Don't look at me like, what did he just say? I'm telling you the truth. Sometimes I answer yes. Sometimes I answer no. All right? So don't pretend. Because there's some days, some things come into my mind you don't want to know. You just don't want to know. So if we find that we have weaknesses, Ananias and Sapphira should have had some accountability people in their lives to ask them some tough questions so they didn't have to go down this road. So I want to say to you that what we see happening with Ananias and Sapphira, it was a sin of insincere consecration. It was lying to God. The other thing I noticed in the text is that, you know, you can't say you love Jesus and don't love his church, because when they lied about what they give, what they were saying, it was more important for us to have our needs met versus the needs of the congregation, the poor. And I see people like that all the time. They say, well, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. Well, the church is the bride, and Jesus is the bridegroom. And there's no way I can say, oh, Brian, I love you, but I don't love Christina. It's a package deal. If I can't love you, if I can't love your wife, I can't love you. If I can't love you, I can't love your wife. It's a package. I mean, people say, well, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. That's nonsense. It's a package deal. And in the church, you're going to have the good, the bad, and the ugly. So if you're new to church, I want to say to you that you'll see some good things, but you'll also see some bad things. But you can't allow the negative things that you see to turn you away from your relationship with God. And there's a lot of people looking for an excuse why they don't want to go to church, because, well, I saw Sister So-and-so do so. I saw this guy over here do that. Don't worry about him. He has to stand before God and give an account for what he did or didn't do. And you will have to stand and give an account for what you have done or have not done. So don't get discouraged about what people do, because in the church, even though the Spirit is moving, you got the enemy right beside doing his dirty work as well. And people will disappoint you. But you can't focus on people. It's about a relationship with your Savior, not about people. So be careful. Don't get too wound up when you see things happening in the church that don't make you too happy. It's the church. The Spirit is moving, but Satan is moving too. Just make sure you don't get caught up in his work. I wish there was somebody in the house this morning. Now, he went to church, and when the worship leader got up and started singing the old hymn, I Surrender All, he said, I surrendered some, and kept on singing, and was happy doing that. Brother Morgan, you laugh, because it's kind of funny. But you know what, Brother Morgan? There are a lot of people today that are trafficking in unlived truth. Many of us on a Sunday morning in a worship service traffic in unlived truth. You say, Pastor Sion, how do we do that? Okay? He turns my morning into dancing, and we're like this. It's trafficking in unlived truth. If he turns my morning into dancing, then somebody ought to dance. Even if you can't dance, spin around. We have all these hymns and courses we sing. You know, I bend my knees before you, Lord, I surrender all. But we sing them, but we're trafficking in unlived truth. We haven't really surrendered all. So I want to challenge you, my friends, that when we sing these songs, let's do the actions. You remember Father Abraham had many sons. Now, I just dated myself a little bit. But we did the actions to the song, Sister Brenda. We weren't trafficking in unlived truth. But today, we traffic and live truth. We say, Lord, I lift my voice before you, and we don't sing it. Trafficking in unlived truth. Ananias and Sapphira, trafficking in unlived truth. And I want to encourage you not to do that. Theirs was an attitude of deception, which is a heart condition, with the full workings of the Holy Spirit. I don't know why they would have this need for accolades, but I know that the Holy Spirit protects the integrity of the church. Let me move along. Number two, the divine, we noticed that there was a divine prophetic discernment in the church. And God used the apostles and the leaders of the church to bring to their knowledge what was taking place behind closed doors. And this is the importance of having godly leadership. Because when Peter, before he was saved, he denied Jesus. But in the book of Acts, when Peter got himself together, now the Holy Spirit is revealing to him. Now somebody said, well, Pastor Sion, when he went down to the lands department, when he went down to City Hall, and he went to planning and development, and maybe the clerk saw what he sold it for and told Peter. I don't believe that. With the supernatural move of the Holy Spirit taking place, I believe with all of my heart that the Holy Spirit revealed to Peter what was taking place. And Peter asked him, now listen to this. Ananias was under no obligation to sell his land. The land was his before there was a need. He could have sold it, and he could have simply said to Peter, I'm giving the church 25% or 50% or 75% or no percent. There was no obligation for him. There was no punishment if he kept all for himself or give all to the church. So there was no need for him to lie. But he still lied and said, yeah, we're going to keep, they kept back part of it and said, yeah, we're giving up, we're giving all of it to the church. There was absolutely no need for him to lie. There was no consequences if he had kept the land for him, kept the land or kept it unsold or kept all of the money. There was no need for him to lie. But because there was an internal area of weakness in his life, the enemy got a hold of that and began to use that against him. Need for affirmation. Peter said to him, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? Satan always exploits our weaknesses. He is not filled with the Savior. He's filled with Satan. And Satan is movement. Peter, a man of God, who God transformed, received this prophetic revelation knowledge. You remember when Jesus was asking his disciples, who do people say I am? What did Peter said? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say to him? Peter, flesh and blood did not give that to you, but it was revealed to you by the Spirit. There is something called revelation knowledge that God gives to his people who are open to him. And I want you to know, New Hope, it doesn't have to be only the leaders. You can have revelation knowledge. If you are available to the things of the Spirit, God will speak it into you, and you will know. And if you hang around the Lord long enough, there sometimes you will be in an environment and you can read things. You can pick up on things. You can sense things because of revelation knowledge. But if you are not in the Spirit, you cannot judge the things of the Spirit. If you're not of the Spirit, you cannot judge the things of the Spirit. I had a guy said to me a long time ago, you know, I don't like to come to New Hope because, you know, you guys break out in tongues, and I don't like all these ladies always talking, speaking in tongues. And I said, man, have you ever been filled with the Spirit? No. Well, how can you judge the things of the Spirit? Now get filled and then tell me what you think about tongues. But you can't judge it if you've never experienced it. And so we notice that God revealed the truth to Peter. And I want to tell you something, my friends. God is still in the business of revealing truth. There's a place in the body of Christ for the gifts of the Spirit. Word of knowledge, tongues, prophecy, interpretation of tongues, revelation knowledge. Hypocrisy in the church is recognizable because the Spirit of God protects the integrity of the church. God is in the business of still protecting his word and his people. And the man of God, Peter, was unable to unmask this liar. This is not meant to scare you, but it's meant to encourage you that God still protects his church. He still protects his church. Number three, here is a deadly punishment. I'm going to go through this pretty quick because we got things coming up. But there's a lot of Bible scholars that do not like this passage of scripture because they say it doesn't show any grace and any mercy, because all that Ananias did was he lied, and immediately after it was revealed, he was struck dead, And they never called his wife to tell her anything. As a matter of fact, the young deacons in the church just took him and buried him right away. Understand the context. In those days, they don't have, you know, serenity funeral home to let you sit in there and mummify for 2 months. You know what I mean? I mean, you died, and even back home, they put some ice on under you and cover you for maybe a day or two, and after that, you got to be buried. And so when you died, they buried you right away. But there was 3 hours that, you know, he died, and no one seemed to send a message to his wife. So when she comes into church looking for a husband, Peter says, "Hey, did you agree to do this unhealthy negotiation with your husband?" She says, "Yes." Well, the feet of the men that carried him out are going to carry you now. So she dies as well. And we don't know if they had children, but no one seems to be looking for any family members to say, you know what, your auntie and your uncle, your mom and dad have just died. So a lot of scholars are saying, we don't like this passage of scripture because it doesn't reveal the grace of God to anybody. All they did was lie. They don't deserve this kind of a punishment. But Ananias lied to the Holy Spirit. And you can't lie to God and get away with it. It will be revealed. It will be revealed. And what it did in that day, Raquel, is that it helped the church from becoming even more divisive, because once people saw what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, and whether it was a heart attack or a stroke, they were gone. Listen, folks were less likely to come in and start doing things that they shouldn't be doing because of the fear of Almighty God. And so I want to say to you, my friends, that there's always a punishment and there's always consequences for our action. Dishonesty and hypocrisy carry a high price. The wife and the husband both end up dying because of this unhealthy relationship that they develop in their hearts. Satan came in and tried to tweak what God wanted. He always gives you a counterfeit, but Ananias and Sapphira, they made their choice and they suffered the faith. Again, the presence of the Holy Spirit is in the church. And it's not a temporary condition. It is a permanent condition, because the Spirit of God dwells within each and every one of us. So when you say to me, "Pastor, I don't feel the Spirit," what you're saying, the Spirit is not in me. And the presence of the Holy Spirit is still in the church. And because they lied to the Spirit, they receive what they got for that. So he didn't have to sell the land. He didn't have to give any money to the church, but he chose to lie to themselves. They chose to lie about what they received for the sale of the land. They chose to lie to the church leaders. They chose to lie to the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I want to challenge you that make sure that you're mindful that you're giving for the right reasons. They wanted accolades, but my friends, you don't have to give to God to get accolades. When you understand who you are in Jesus Christ, when you understand that I am a son and I'm not a beggar, when you understand that I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, you don't have to play these Mickey Mouse games with God and these manipulation games with God. If I give you $5, you'll give me 20 back. That's not how this works. God wants you to give out of the abundance of your heart because you know it's the right thing to do, not because of any dividends that you may get back from serving him. And yes, he does reward us, but we ought not to give because we get back. We ought to give because it's the right thing to do. And if you can't give because it's the right thing to do, then I'd say to you, don't give, because there's consequences for sin. So whatever it is, you'll serve your husband and give to him because you know it's the right thing to do. Even though it's bugging the deacons out of you, serve him anyhow. If it's your wife, serve. Stop by Sobeys and pick up the milk at 9:45. Serve anyhow. Do it out of the abundance of your heart, Sion. I'm talking about me now. I'm going to leave you alone. The temptation to give a harsh word, slow it down and speak softly. When it comes to the church, give to God out of the abundance of your heart. Not because the pastor or the board asked you. Not because we got a financial need. We don't want you to give anything to the Lord, grudgingly or under compulsion. But we want you to give cheerfully, because God loves a cheerful giver. So whatever it is you're giving to your children, to your marriage, to your church, to your family, to your friends, as Christians, we ought to give it out of a heart that's overflowing with love and joy for the situation that has presented itself. We don't give to God so that he can give back to us. If he chooses to, thank you, Lord, which he promised he will. But we don't give for that reason. We give because it's the right thing to do. I want to ask you today to search your hearts for just a few minutes. Twyla, you gone, Twyla? You're downstairs. You're in the back. Could you come here real quick? Ruth, I know we got to go at 1 o'clock. I'll let the people come in anyway. 1:30, we're good? Okay. All right. There are many in this congregation today that don't give simply because of the condition of their hearts. Not because they can't, because they choose not to. And there are those who give for the wrong reasons. Again, this is a hard issue. And so I don't know which group you're in, but I want to be able to break that. I want to break that over your life today. So if this is you, I want to give you extend an invitation to you to join me at the altar. And with the altar team, the altar ministry team, I'm going to pray over you to break whatever it is that's in your heart so that you can serve the Lord for the rest of your life with great freedom and joy, not under compulsion. Not under compulsion. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And if you're part of the altar ministry team and you want prayer, we'll pray for you too, because we all need prayers, don't we? The Lord has spoken to you. What is the condition of your heart today? Is your heart like this, or is it like this? You can give for the wrong reasons. Don't be like Ananias and Sapphira. Give to God because you know it's the right thing to do, not because you're forced to. You know what God wants from you the most, my friends? Complete surrender of your heart to him. That's it. Because when he has your heart, he will get everything else. But if he doesn't have your heart, he'll get very little of you. So would you consider giving your heart to him today, fully, if you haven't done so? God wants to create change in our lives and transformation amongst us today. Be mindful of giving for the wrong reasons. Be mindful of giving for the wrong reasons. What is the condition of your heart today? That's my question to you. And if it's not well with the Lord, let's make it right at this time. Okay. Hallelujah, Jesus.